Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 268, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell, come ye before him and rejoice. And what follows, Psalter 268, the stanzas 1, 3, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 45. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, and the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy works, he hath no hands. Woe unto him that saith unto his father, what begettest thou? Or to the woman, what hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hands command ye me. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Ethiopia and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee. In chains they shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else, there is no God. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed, and also confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, that are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord, with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed, nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against them shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall be all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. A merciful, a good-doing, ever-faithful, holy and righteous God, the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee to grant unto us and our children another Lord's Day. And then each Lord's Day by renewal, then we may remember that the Lord is risen indeed. And to that end, the earth may still stand. Then thou wast still cared for this earth, that it has not been destroyed. Then in thy faithfulness, then thou wast caused the sun to arise in this morning hour. Ah, Lord, may it please thee, by the work of thy Holy Spirit, to grant unto us and our children what we have heard out of thy word, that thou art God alone, and that there is none else. And that thou art a God that is so worthy to be served, to be honored and to be glorified. Thou art a God that has created everything so perfectly. The jewel of thy creation in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. Thou art a God that demands thy image back. Lord, may it please thee to grant a broken and a humble heart for thy sparing, for thy caring, for thy providing, and for thy protecting hand, where thou wast watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast spared the whole congregation. Thou wast not taken one away by the hand of death, while through our deep fallen Adam we are all lying under the sentence of death. And, Lord, Oh, when we may have a little impression who we are and what we remain, that our sins, that they are great and manifold, committed against the good and a just God, then should it not be a wonder in this day that the earth still beareth us, and that the heaven still covereth us? Lord, we humbly ask Thee, by the work of Thy Holy Spirit, that wonder, that it may truly be a wonder, become a wonder by the first time and by renewal. And then there shall be a bowing in astonishment, for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy. Also an impression that our sins need to be washed and cleansed, because, O Lord, otherwise also the sins of the past week of this morning hour, they have been added to our account. And then Thou was given that by renewal we may experience the change of seasons, from a springtime to a summer, and then in the realm of nature, then everything looks so beautiful. Thou wast given refreshing rains. Lord, we humbly ask Thee, may it please Thee to also do it in the realm of grace, where in the past weeks by renewal we were given to commemorate the glorious day of Pentecost. Oh, such a revival in the midst of Thy church. Oh, Lord, may it please Thee in the latter days of the earth to pour out the showers of Thy Spirit upon that barren ground, the barren ground of Thy church, but also concerning Thy children. Ah, Thou hast a people that has learned and that is given to continually lament that they are so barren, that they are so unfruitful. Ah, Thou hast a people that learns that they may only be fruitful through another, through the meritorial work of Thy dear Son. And Lord, then we humbly ask Thee in this morning hour for a rich blessing upon Thy holy word. That in this very morning hour that sinners may be converted by Thee unto Thee. O turn us, cause Thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Wilt Thou remember Thy children? Thou also knowest where they are encamped, how they have come up. Thou knowest that a third of the congregation may come up, but that the greatest part are still called to remain in their home. Then we may humbly ask Thee that the time may soon arrive when the whole congregation may come up to Thy house. Lord, be then a surprising God. Deal not according as we deserve. Oh, then we must confess, if Thou would pass us by, then Thou would do no unrighteousness. Lord, turn us, give that repentance unto us and our children. Then we commend Thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth unto Thee. O all those that are called to labor therein, wilt Thou grant strength, wilt Thou grant help, wilt Thou grant courage in discouraging times. We remember the many outward needs, Lord. Remember the sick amongst us, the seriously sick. Thou knowest all the different circumstances. We commend them all unto Thee. together with their loved ones, a wealth of grant unto the physicians, wisdom and understanding, a grant a place at thy footstool, a where they may come with all their needs, the needs of their body, and above all the needs of their never dying soul, that the afflictions may be used for the saving of souls. We commend unto thee all the crosses, all the burdens. Wilt thou remember the handicapped, those that care for them? Remember the difficulties of the body, the difficulties of the mind. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, the large empty places in their heart, in their lives, in their homes. Wilt thou continue to uphold them? Remember all our elderly ones in the care home, with those that may care for them, with those that are in their dwellings. Remember them in the evening of their life. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, may our eyes truly be upon thee. Remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. May it please thee by thy Spirit to open thy precious testimony, to open our mouth and to open our hearts. When that may take place, then it shall be a good morning. Lord, be then a surprising God, and wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance. Grant a prayer for one another. May there be a errands and hers. Wilt thou bind the devil, give a little rest. Wilt thou help the little children, especially at home. Wilt thou, thou only needeth one word, but what the little children need, that we all need. And then, Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. But, the King is still gathering a church, and thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Thou hast never promised to gather thy church in places of wickedness and in places of vanity, but thou hast promised thy special presence, thy special blessing in thy house. May that be realized and experienced in this morning hour, and that the outgoing of thy this service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 49, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. And what follows, Psalter 49, the three stanzas. Thank you. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Isaiah 45, verse 22, where God's word and our text reads thus, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Our text words speak of the Lord's invitation to the ends of the earth, with four thoughts in the first place. Who gives the invitation? In the second place, who are the invited? In the third place, the command to the invited. And in the fourth place, the promise for the invited. The Lord's invitation to the ends of the earth. Who gives the invitation? And then we read, "For I am God, and there is none else." Who are the invited? All the ends of the earth. The command to the invited, "Look unto me." And the promise for the invited, "And be saved." Beloved congregation, the words of our text words, they were spoken by the prophet Isaiah many years before the children of Judah would go into captivity. Then the prophet Isaiah was given to speak these words, to show unto the children of Judah that when they would not repent, they surely would go into captivity. But now when they would come into captivity, that they would not become overly discouraged, that they would not despair, but that they may be given to set their hope in their God. Then the second portion of the prophet Isaiah begins with chapter 40. Comfort ye my people. And then in this chapter there is spoken of comfort for that people that would be in Babylon for so many years. All we read of that people in Psalm 137, that by the rivers of Babel that they have wept. And now in this chapter, in chapter 44 and 45, there is spoken of King Cyrus, who the Lord would raise up, and who the Lord would use as an instrument, that the children of Israel, of Judah, that were in Babylon, that they may be set free. And then when we read her invitation, then we read, because when we receive an invitation for a special occasion, then it also makes a difference who that inviter is, whether it is one that may speak with authority, whether it is one that may fulfill what he has written or spoken in his invitation, whether he has the means. And now in this chapter, then it is true in the context, there is spoken of Cyrus the king, that was the king of the Persians, that has conquered the Medes, and in the year 538, that he has conquered Babylon, and so has become king also over the children of Judah that have been taken captive. But then in this chapter, then the prophet Isaiah is given to speak of greater things, that he is given to prophesy of a greater deliverance, and that is the spiritual deliverance for the church of Jesus Christ. Also, oftentimes in the prophets, in the prophet Isaiah, then the prophet Isaiah is given to speak of that greater Cyrus, who would come to deliver his church. And now in this chapter, then you have heard it, that many times in this chapter, each time by renewal, also in our text, for I am God, and there is none else. And that in opposition, especially in chapter 44, but also mentions in this chapter, that the heathen idols, that they are vain, that they see not, and that they hear not. And now this invitation, then in this chapter, then the Lord tells who he is. Oh, unto that people that would come into captivity. And then in verse 5, because in this chapter, then we read the experience of the true children of God. Then in verse 5, I am the Lord, I girded thee when thou wast not known thee. Oh, when the Lord calls his church, and when they are given to look back on their former life with shame, with weeping and with tears, when the Lord is called, when the Lord has sent out those precious invitations, but that we said, Lord, I am not interested. I have lots of time. I first want to find my life in the world. Oh, is that our picture congregation with the precious invitations in the Word of God, that we do not hear, that we do not listen, but that we listen to the world, and that we listen to the devil. But now the Lord says, even in that time, I have girded thee when thou wast not known me. And then in verse 6, that they might know. Then the Lord has declared, O children of Judah in captivity, there is no other God. There is none else. There is none besides. Has that become true in our life congregation? Has God become real and true in our life? Have we learned that there is none beside, that there is none that can help? How many times that lesson is learned when we come in great difficulties, there's already a blessing. When in the way of God's providence that we learn indeed that there is none beside, that there is none else, that only the Lord can help in itself. Do not build upon it for eternity. We need more. We need a mediator that stands between the Lord and our guilty soul. Nevertheless, the Lord is given to say, to that people in Babylon, to that people in captivity, that there is none else. And then what a precious prayer we have in verse 8. May that also be the prayer of us and our children. Then verse 7, I form the light and create darkness. That is where it must begin, congregation. That the Lord must grant light, creation. The first day, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then the Spirit is moved upon the face of the earth. Thus that is where it must begin. We need eyes that are enlightened, hearts that may perceive, that we may hearken, that we may understand what the Lord is speaking unto us. Oh, when the Lord sheds that light, then we receive knowledge of the Lord, and then we receive knowledge of self, and then we learn as that people in captivity, and all our own fault, our sins, that separation, but then surely, oh, when the Lord grants light, then we have a desire that all people shall receive that same light. Oh, then at the beginning, then we are many times amazed that all people, that they are not busy with their never-dying souls. Oh, when the light shines in the darkness and the Lord shows us that we are on that Broadway traveling to hell, that we need to be saved, then we are given to believe that all people outside of the grace of God, that they are traveling on that broad way. And then surely, oh, verse 8, also what a fitting prayer after Pentecost. Draw down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. When that happens, congregation, then the church starts to resemble the realm of nature with all the gentle showers that we have received. How beautiful, how gray, how green. Then we may receive much instruction, and then we would do well that we may compare our own heart to those green pastures, those green fields, and we would do well to compare to the church, and that we may be brought on our knees and with the prayer, Lord, may it please thee to pour down righteousness. Then in the verses 9 and 10, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Can be in many ways, of course, also how the Lord has created us. The devil loves to tell the weaker vessel that they are not created right. But woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Oh, when the Lord starts to work, what a questions there can be concerning election, the degree of God, our deep fallen Adam that it has been imputed upon us. Then what a struggles and what a questions there can be. But then that people must learn, we find the same in Romans 9, shall the clay say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Then it is necessary that every mouth is stopped. And then in verse 11, what a precious text for parents, for office bearers. Ask of me concerning my sons. And then in verse 15, that is not so strange for the living church. All for that people in captivity with precious promises. But when it takes so long, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. And then we come to verse 21 before we come to that invitation. And then we read, and that is now the experience of the children of God. Then they learn those 2 points. Then by renewal in verse 21, there is no God else besides me. And then that God is declared a just God and a Savior. And those are 2 matters that we must learn experientially by the work of the Holy Spirit on this side of the grave. Has that been learned? We become exercised with it. When it becomes true in our life, then there shall be many exercises. Thus first, a just God who was so holy and so righteous that he cannot step over one of our sins. Sins of omission, commission, first table, second table, and that the Lord is so righteous. And when that becomes true, congregation, when the light may shine in the darkness upon all his attributes, but the church has to do with a just God, and they learn to love God and all his attributes. An uncovered sinner does not have a desire that God would change, but they learn that they must change, that they must become perfectly holy for the Lord to accept as such a one. And then they do their best to please the Lord. How is that in our life, congregation? Because when we truly believe that the Lord is just and that he must punish each of our sins by temporal and eternal punishment in hell, and that forever and ever, when that becomes real, then we shall try to escape that punishment and to that end live according to the Word of God in all aspects. A just God. Have you tried it, congregation? How is it going? Are there souls that are busy with the justice of God exercised? And then we try to please that God because we love the Lord. Faith worketh by love. And are there souls? How is it now going? Oh, maybe a soul says at the beginning, I hoped that there would come a time that I could please that just God. But the more light that shines, the more I am given to see that it is forever impossible. A cut-off case. Then the question is born. What must I do to be saved? Is there now a way? Church learns that from their side, that there is no way. But is there now a way that such a guilty wretch as I am can be saved? Is there a way that the justice of God may be satisfied? Oh, before our text, who invites a just God and a Savior? It's true. King Cyrus would be used. He would make a proclamation. Oh, that would be such a wonderful proclamation for that people in captivity, that they would be set free, that they may return to the promised land and the wonderful works of the Lord, the command by that king. He has ordered that sacrifices would be brought. He has even supplied for the wants of that people. Oh, then we see that the Lord does such a wonderful and such a full work that the Lord shall fulfill what he has promised. But now the prophet Isaiah, then when he speaks of that fulfillment of the release, the deliverance of the children of Judah in captivity,
Oh, then those prophecies, they also point to the experience of the Church of God. They point to the time of the New Testament, that the Savior would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has come to save His people from their sins. Our second thought. Who are the invited? That is an important point. Who is now invited in our text? And then it is written, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And I think our boys and girls can understand when it speaks to the earth that it does not speak to the round globe, but that it speaks to the people of the earth. Thus then we may speak of all the nations of the earth. Our text is also a promise and invitation to the Gentiles, because those Gentiles, in the eyes of the Jewish people, they have lived far from the courts of the Lord. They were not under the external administration of the covenant. And to that end, they have lived at the ends of the earth. Then through our deep fallen Adam, then we have also come to live at the ends of the earth. Adam and Eve in the state of rectitude, then they were given to walk with a holy joy, rejoicing in that blessed communion of the Lord. There was no separation, but we have broken the covenant, transgressed the Lord's command. And then when the Lord has come in the garden, where art thou? Then we'd read that already Adam and Eve, that separation, hid themselves among the trees of the garden, but they have come forth. And then in Genesis 3 verse 24, they were driven out of paradise. Thorns and thistles must labor in their sweat. Children shall be brought forth with many difficulties. Then they have also, although they have received that mother promise, those skins pointed all to the Lord Jesus Christ, they have experienced the consequences of sin. And now by nature, we are all at the ends of the earth. But the Lord has a people upon the earth that become exercised, being at the ends of the earth. And I think our boys and girls can understand it, that it means a great distance in another country, across the sea, on an island, a great separation from the Lord and also from His institutions. In the context, then it referred especially to the children of Judah. It's true, 10 tribes. They have been carried into Assyria already in the year 722 before the birth of Christ. They have been dispersed among the nations. The 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin, many years later, 3 captivities in the year 605, 597, and 586. When Nebuchadnezzar has come with his large army to punish the children of Judah, where they have refused to listen to the prophets, where they have hardened their hearts, where they have not repented, where they have trusted in their privileges. In Jeremiah 7, verse 4, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And then in that time, then their temple, their beautiful temple, oh, they thought it would never happen, that the Lord would not allow it to happen. This glorious city of Jerusalem was burned by flames. Many were killed. There was a famine. And then many among young and old, fathers and mothers, with their children, you can picture it, that they were bound and that they were led to the east, a faraway place in that large city of Babylon, about 60 miles to the south of Baghdad. It was a glorious city. Oh, they tell us that the walls were so high. They were so wide. There were hanging gardens. Do we not even read in Daniel 4 that Nebuchadnezzar has pronounced, "Is this not the great Babylon that I have built?" But in that Babylon, the true fear of the Lord was not to be found. They have worshipped their idols, which were no gods. And now for those Israelites. Oh, it is true. Alas, there were many of those captives that have found a place in Babylon. And Babylon is a picture of the world. That there were fathers and mothers with their children, that they did not feel so much at the ends of the earth. Undoubtedly, there were those that thought, and now we no longer have to listen to the prophet Jeremiah, who pronounced gloom and doom, that if we would not repent, who was laid openly before us our sins, he mentioned them by name. Undoubtedly, there were those that have come to Babylon. Maybe they thought, now at least we do not have the prophet to listen to. Hope that is not our case, congregation. The Lord, in his long suffering, even in Babylon, then he has still sent him a prophet. We know who that was. That was Ezekiel, who has pronounced the same message as Jeremiah has told. Ah, the Lord makes himself so free. There were many in Babylon, becomes evident, when King Cyrus has pronounced that people may return. It is true. There were some because of special circumstances. Think of Daniel. Could not return. But then it is very evident that there were also many that had not a desire to return. What an awful condition, even in an outward way, that they found their life in Babylon. Where are we finding our life, congregation? When we think of our text, an invitation to the ends of the earth, then for many Lord's days, where there were also those, when you were bound to your home in a certain sense, ends of the earth, of course, still the privilege that you could listen along. Just think that people in Babylon, fathers and mothers with their children, and then on the Sabbath day, it is true, before the captivity, they did not yet have their synagogues. And it was only especially those that lived at a distance that they went up to Jerusalem only on the feasts. But now to come to Babylon, oh, how that people, this written in Psalm 137, but how that people must have wept, how difficult it must have been for those family circles to keep the Sabbath day holy. And in Babylon, they did not have a Bible, boys and girls, that you could read. They did not have many good books about the wonders of the Lord. I hope in the past time that we have read more, fathers and mothers to children, maybe older brothers and sisters to younger siblings, that binds the family together. In Babylon, they did not have a psalter. Maybe they knew a few songs, but not so many. Thus, that people in Babylon did not have the privileges that we and our children have. Privileges that many times we take so for granted. But to the ends of the earth, have in the past weeks, and still, when we may only come up once to God's house on the Lord's day, I hope that among young and old, that there may have been a people that have felt, it is true, cannot compare to that people in Babylon, because it would be for many years, for many that would die in Babylon, that would never be given to see when the second temple was built, many that would never hear the proclamation that it would have been told from family to family, have you heard it? That King Cyrus has made a proclamation that whoever desires that we may return to the promised land, and he has even given provision for the sacrifices and given many commandments concerning our deliverance. Oh, that people, according to Psalm 126, would be as those that have dreamed. But have there now in the past weeks been those that have felt that you are at the ends of the earth, and that it has brought you on your knees, that you have wept, that you have cried, and have we become guilty, congregation? When the Lord has sent the children of Judah into captivity, he had something very special to say unto them. Then they were called upon to reflect. That must have been when they have looked backwards for the last time upon their beloved city, and they saw the flames go into the sky, the temple, the city burnt. And why? Because of their sins. Because that they have refused to repent and to turn unto the Lord, that they have trusted in their church privileges. Were they not the people of God? Where the Lord has instituted a service at the ends of the earth. And what have you now done, congregation? I read in Psalm 61 of one from the ends of the earth, O well, I cry unto thee. When we read in our text words that invitation to a people that are at the ends of the earth, then in this morning hour, then we must lay a little open. Tis a blessing when in the past weeks, when that separation has been sorely felt, with a confession to the Lord of our sins, of our guilt, our world conformity, that we have come up to God's house, maybe very immodest, that the Spirit has been grieved, but now, when we read of a people at the ends of the earth, the Lord has a people upon the earth that is given to experience spiritually what it is to be at the ends of the earth. Let us first sing. Psalter 424, the second stanza. He has remembered all his mercy, his truth declared to Israel. The ends of earth have seen his glory, his ways and majesty excel. And what follows, Psalter 424, the second stanza. When we read our text and we read of those that are at the ends of the earth, then the question can be in many a hearts, with this command to look unto God and unto the Savior. Unto who does that command come? Then we may say that command to look, that comes unto all. Because we have heard that by nature, we are all at the ends of the earth. But now we must add, according to the Word of God, and according to experience, we shall say it this way, all may look. If we go lost congregation, it shall be our own fault. And it shall rise up against us in the day of judgment, when there has been such a precious Savior declared, that we have refused to look. Thus, to make it plain, all may look, boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and elderly. Then in the second place, that by nature, that none shall look, and none are able, and none are willing. Christ has said in John 5, verse 40, ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. But now the wonder, that by the free and sovereign grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that there shall be a people that shall look. And that is that people who by the work of the Spirit have learned what it is to be at the ends of the earth. Then we have stated to be at the ends of the earth in the eyes for that Jewish people that was to be separated all between Jerusalem and the large city of Babylon. There was that large desert so hot, so scorching, and so wide. Thus, when there is spoken in our text words to be at the end of the earth, that speaks of a great separation. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, verse 12 has written to a people that they were aliens. Oh, that was by nature before they were quickened. Because in verse 1, but you hath he quickened, who were dead in sins and trespasses. But then in verse 12, that ye were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise. Oh, then he has begun that text, that ye were without Christ. And then at the end of that text, without hope and without God. And now when the Lord works by his Holy Spirit, when he uncovers, when he shows who the Lord is and who we are because of our sins. Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin and congregation when the Lord works. What tears are wept because of our sins. What tears are wept because of that separation. And now on account of that love that the Lord sheds abroad in the heart of his children. Oh, that separation is worth worse than death. And then the prayers, they are multiplied. Oh, the thought, separated here in the time, separated from his mercy, from his goodness, and then to die in such a separated state, because we have heard it before our invitation, a just God and a Savior, oh, because of the Lord's justice, and then to be separated forever and ever. Oh, when that people, it is true by nature we are at the ends of the earth, but when the Spirit works, then it becomes reality. And then the thought to be separated from the Lord forever and ever. Ah, the Lord learns what it is to be from the ends of the earth. and that people may see that there is a blessed people. That is the people of God. Then they are given to make that good choice of a roof. But those roofs shall learn that with that choice, that it is not a solved case, that their sins need to be pardoned. Look unto me and be ye saved. The ends of the earth, that people at the ends of the earth, that is separated from the courts of the Lord. And then that people experience all their own fault, their own sin, that has brought that separation. At the ends of the earth, that describes the separation from the communion of the Lord. And to that end, that people at the ends of the earth, then what a longings there can be. It is true, the Lord is free and sovereign, but the Lord grants especially a blessing under the institutions of the Lord. It is true, when there are lawful reasons, when we are separated, then it pleases the Lord at times to give a Elam, that they may come in that cave of Adullam. For that people that is in debt, that is in distress, that is discontented, and then he has become a captain over them. But when we read David, the history of David, then many a times, then he has come to the ends of the earth because of persecution, also on account of his own sin. When he was persecuted by his son Absalom, then he has experienced what it is to be at the ends of the earth, and what solemns we have, where he may be given to express, at the ends of the earth, that vehement longing, that once more he may come up to the courts of the Lord, that he may behold the tabernacle and later the temple, when those sacrifices may be brought, when he may behold the glory of the city of Zion. At the ends of the earth, the Lord has a people, and at the ends of the earth, it is true, there can be times that it can be so silent, and that it can be so quiet. Church of God, how has it now been in the past weeks, when in a certain sense separated from the courts of the Lord to be in our dwellings? Have there then been exercises? Has that distance been felt? Have we come in our guilt, the confession of our sin? Has there been repentance at the ends of the earth? At the ends of the earth, then the enemies, then many times, what an arrows are shot. We think of that people in Babylon that have literally been at the ends of the earth. We read in Psalm 139, that people, the ends of the earth, they still had a desire to gather together with their harps in that faraway country to sing one of Zion's songs, and then the enemy is mocked. And then they have become so distressed and so discouraged, and then they have hung their harps on the willows. Can be times the church is afraid that the harp shall never come off. The enemies have said, "Do you not really believe? Look at those walls of Babylon. Look at the strong gates. Look at the king. Behold the army, the weapons, and a few feeble Jews. Do you really believe that at the ends of the earth?" Surely that people did not even know the way back. Do you not really believe that the Lord shall fulfill his promise? Look at the circumstances. And so long already, how troubled then that people can be, how troubled they can become we shall close the Lord willing. Then we can perhaps continue on the coming Lord's Day. Look unto me and be saved, all young and old. We need to be saved by nature. We are lost. And now the wonder in this chapter speaks not only of a just God. There's only spoken of a just God. Would be eternally lost for us and our children. Then we would not have to come to church. Would be no use. We would know where we would spend eternity. But then before our invitation, a just God and a Savior. Oh, I read in Hebrews 7, verse 25, that he is able to save to the uttermost. And now for that people. Oh, then they are called, a duty commanded. And, oh, the Lord, he gives unto his children what he commands. Christ has merited those benefits in the covenant of grace. Look unto me, oh, young and old. Tells us that there is a way to be saved. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Amen. Let us close. Lord, oh, what a precious invitation for us and our children. And then it is necessary, because all the dead they see not and they hear not. And then as rational creatures, then we are looking at the world and the circumstances. And thou as a people upon the earth, at the ends of the earth, that they can be so bowed down as that woman in the scripture, even for 18 years, and that she could in no wise straighten herself up. Ah, Lord, perhaps such a soul in our midst, but ah, then thou wast given thy command, and then she was given to look, Lord, wilt thou work lovingly and irresistibly? Oh, teach us by thy Spirit, a just God and a Savior. Convert us as thou hast converted all thy people. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this day? Remember also in the afternoon hour, Lord. Then we commend our brother elder unto thee. Ah, wilt thou be his helper, make it an easy task. May he taste something of what he reads, and may it please thee to add thy blessing, grant traveling mercies in this day. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 297. The three stanzas. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy still endure. Thus let his ransom testify from all their foes secure. And what follows, 297, the three stanzas. Array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. Let the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Let the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.